Heavenly Father, we love you today. We thank you that you have promised that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Oh, what a great promise that is. And I pray, dear Lord, today that you would help us to realize the truth of this verse and apply it to our hearts and lives. And as we continue this study today, Lord, I pray that you would just speak through me, dear Lord. Allow me to be your vessel today. But also, dear Lord, that you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and to apply the truths of the Word of God to our hearts today, that we might be better Christians for hearing the Word today. Bless all the teaching and all the classes that are going on, and allow your Word to be proclaimed and the Holy Spirit to convict. For it's in Christ's name we pray and ask it. Amen. You may be seated. 1 John this morning. 1 John chapter 4. As we continue this study of a line in the sand, of Bible-based convictions, we've been talking about Jesus Christ as the Son of God. We have talked about the Word of God. We have talked about the King James Version of the Bible. We have talked about being thou an example of Christ, how we are to follow Christ, and baptism. And baptism is not, baptismal regeneration is not scriptural. It does not wash us from our sins. That's the blood of Christ that washes us from our sins. There's nothing special about the water on the baptistry except to show that we are obedient to Christ. And then last week we looked at being an example of Christ and in our life and our attitude, our actions. And today I want to stretch a little bit from that and go and talk about God's love is an everlasting love. That scripture, and that is a scriptural principle, and we can build a conviction on that God's love is an everlasting love. We cannot get away from God's love. And I might shock you here, but God still loves those that He has sent to hell. And those that are going to be sent to hell because they will not accept Christ as their Savior, He still loves them. Amen. It is an everlasting love. For it tells us in 1 John chapter 4, we'll look at in just a moment, that God is love. He can't separate Himself from love because He is love. So let's look today at 1 John chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Doesn't say God has love. God shows love. God displays love. It says God is love. It's a defining quality of God. He is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Oh, what a great portion of Scripture. God is love. And again, down in verse number 16, it tells us again, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He is love. God's love is unconditional. He will love us no matter what. It is an everlasting love. It is unchanging love. It is an eternal love. It's an infinite love. It is a source of how we know what love is. It is the source of all love, God's love. It's unrestricted love. God's love is unlimited. God's love is absolute, and God's love is genuine. There is no love like God's love. We might try to love like God, but we are not there. We can't love as God loves. We can try. For God is love. It is a defining quality of who God is. For God is love. In our world today and in the past in our world, we have had in our world types of love. We've had the love of the 60s called free love. We've had the infatuation love, and do today, the infatuation love. We have the lustful love. We have what they call as children the puppy love. And we have the Hollywood type of love that's just sort of fleeting for the moment. But also in the world, we have family love. We have marital relationship love. We have our love of our children, our spouses, and our relatives. And as Christians in this world, we can experience and partake in Christian love. Love of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Love for souls of the world that are in this world today. And the love for Christ. Those are loves that we can experience in this world. But God's love is the highest. God's love is the noblest. God's love is the sweetest type of love in this world. There is no love like God's love, for God is love. It is an everlasting love. Before we ever placed our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, it's a personal decision. Before we ever placed our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God loved us. When we were unlovely, God loved us. Romans, go with me today in Romans chapter 5. Very familiar portion of Scripture. Romans chapter 5, look with me in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That was us. Before we accepted Christ, or if you're here today and you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you are or were part of the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us before we were saved, while we were still yet in our sins. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's love. You know, if someone came to us and said, I want you to die in the place of this beggar on the street. And you know the character of this beggar. You've seen him around town. You see him going into the local establishments that offer alcoholic beverages. And you see him stumbling around the streets. And he's addicted to the bottle. And he frequents the drug houses. And he's just living an immoral life. And someone comes to you and says, I want you to die for this beggar. Nobody in their right mind would do that. But then, where we have a good, godly Christian brother that is getting persecuted by the world, and you willingly take their place in the execution, some would do that. That's what verse number 7 is talking about. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, few will do that. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But those that are ungodly, who would die for them? For the unrighteous, for the immoral, for those that are living in a world and a lifestyle of sin, who would die for them? Christ. Christ. He loved us when we were unlovely. And how and why? Well, of course, John 3:16 tells us those answers. John 3:16, many of us can quote it. I don't want to mess it up. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave, that is an action, He gave His Son. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have, how much life? Everlasting. There's no end to it. Christ died for us when we were unlovely, when we were ungodly, when we were in our sins. Christ died for us. That's love. That's a definition of love. Jeremiah chapter 31 tells us what type of love God has. In Jeremiah 31 and verse number 3, Jeremiah 31:3, the word of God says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I have loved thee with an everlasting love." That's how much God loves us. That's how much God loves the world today. With an everlasting love. With those that are cursing His name. Those that are putting to death those that call upon the name of Christ and love the name of Christ. Those that are putting them to death. God loves them with an everlasting love. Those that are wallowing in a lifestyle of sin and have nothing and want nothing to do with God, God loves them the same way. There is no change in God's love. It's an everlasting love. We can, though, refuse this love. We don't have to accept God's love. That doesn't stop God from loving us, but we can refuse God's love. Look in John again. We'll be back and forth in the Scriptures today. The Bible speaks much of God's love. John chapter 3, look in verse 35. "For the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into His hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." And we can say amen to that. "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." God still loves that person with an everlasting love. But we can refuse the love of God and accept everlasting punishment. In 2 Thessalonians, again, the Word of God says in chapter number 2, in 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2 and verse number 10, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of truth." This does not say they received not the love of God. For God still loves these people. Those that do not accept the love of the truth, that they might be saved. "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, and that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but that had pleasure in unrighteousness." They said, "I refuse the love of God." It's not that God does not love them. They're refusing God's love because they've refused to receive the love of truth. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 and verse number 22, the Word of God says, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha," which means accursed. Our Lord cometh. Christ is God. That final test, it says here in the Scofield Bible, it means let that man that loves not the Lord Jesus Christ be accursed. But God still loves them with an everlasting love. Just a couple more of this. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews 12:25, the Word of God says about the everlasting love of Christ, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refuses him that speaketh on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." It's a warning to those that listen, hear the words of truth. Hear the words of the everlasting love of God. And if you don't hear it while you're here on this earth, you're surely not going to hear it in heaven, because you won't be there. And then James, we could look at James, the whole book, really. For sake of time, just go in your personal studies and read James again. especially chapters 1 through 4. Well, narrow it into chapters 2 through 4. You really see, for those that do not love God, they have refused the love of God. But God still loves them. So even when we were unlovely, God loved us with an everlasting love. For those that are still unlovely, that have not accepted His Son as their personal Savior, then they still are loved by God the same. It's an everlasting love. God is love. After, though, we place our faith and trust in Christ for salvation, God still loves us the same. The same as when we were sinners, lost in our sin, the same that we are today, saved from our sins through the blood of Christ, it's the same love. It's an everlasting love. We are spiritually born into the family of God. But now we have benefits and blessings from the love of God. Before, all the benefits and blessings were as, receive my Son. Receive my Son and have everlasting life. And now as we are saved and we are trusting Christ as our Savior, we have the benefits and the blessings of the everlasting love of God. Through the love of God, we get those blessings and benefits from God. As we're called in Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, we are joint heirs with Christ, are we not? Before we were saved, were we joint heirs with Christ? No. Our reward was just the lake of fire. But God still loved us. But once we were saved, we have the benefits and blessings of God's love upon our lives. And He says, you are now joint heirs with Christ. Whatever belongs to Christ also belongs to you. Wow. He also has said in Philippians 4:19, look there with me. If you don't have this underlined in your Bible, and you underline things in your Bible, I would definitely highlight this, mark it, star it. Philippians 4:19. Philippians is a great book for encouragement. But Philippians 4:19 says, but my God, personal, my God, your God, individually, my God. He is the God of the universe, but He's also my God. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Those are the blessings and the benefits of an everlasting love of a Father. No longer standing over here under the judgment of God, the Father, but over here as a heavenly Father, wanting to bless His children, wanting to provide for His children's needs, and as we are joint heirs with Christ. But again, just as we can refuse the love of God, we can remove ourselves from the blessings of God. We can remove ourselves from the benefit of God's love. Look with me at a very familiar portion of Scripture. You hear teaching and preaching this often in Luke chapter 15. I'll go through this very quickly. In Luke 15, we have the parable of the lost sheep. And we have the parable of the lost coin. And we have the parable of the Son. So we're going to pick this up in Luke 15 and starting in verse 11. And He said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. This prodigal son has left his father. His father still loves him. His father still loves him like he loved him when he was in his home. And this father cared for his son and wanted to provide for his son and wanted to take care of the needs of his son. But the son says, I want to remove myself from this home. I want to remove myself from the love of this home and put myself in the place of the world and of the desires of the world and the loves of the world. He removes himself not from the love of the Father. He removes himself from the blessings and the benefits of the love of the Father. So he is now in a stage of want, it says in verse 14. He began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He is in a desperate situation. If he was back home, under the house and the roof of his father that loved him, he would receive the benefits and the blessings of that love. But here he is out in the world, living amongst the world, and he's found a place in a stage of want. Now he's in the swine pits, and he's thinking about filling his belly with the feed and the slop of the hogs. He's removed himself from the blessings of the love of the Father. And it goes on to say, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise. He's thinking now of the love of the Father. He's thinking of the blessings of the Father's love and the benefits of the Father's love. I'm just going to go back home and be a servant. And I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and he came to his father. I love this in verse 20. He rose and he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw. His father never stopped loving his son. His father still loved his son, no matter that he had demanded his portion of the inheritance, no matter that he left home, no matter of the circumstances he left home, and God knows only what he was doing out in the world, his father still loved him and still longed for him to come home. Can you see the father go out every day? What are you going to do today? Go see if my son's coming down the road. Every day I'm going to go up and go look down the road and wait for my son to come home. Yet, a great way off, his father saw him, the love of the father, and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And it goes on, and we could talk about this for a long time just on this one story. But I want to show you the love of the father. It never changes. It's an everlasting love. We can remove ourselves from the benefits and the blessings of God's love. We can refuse God's love, but that doesn't change that God still loves us. He separated himself from the benefits of God's love, but God still loves him. When we remove ourselves back into the world, just as Israel wanted to go back into Egypt once they are facing hardships on the wilderness journey, and as we face hardships in this Christian life, as we journey for Christ and serve for Christ and love Christ and want to do more for Christ, and those hardships come and those trials come, it's like, well, it was a little bit easier back over here, closer to the world. The Father still loves us the same way He loved us before. But we're removing ourselves from the benefits and the blessings of God's love. He wants us to draw back to Him. He's watching. He's wanting. He's longing for us to come back to Him. And He's still going to love us the same, but we'll receive the benefits and the blessings of those loves. And then we go further. As God's servants here on this earth, we are to serve God out of a heart filled with love and thankfulness and devotion to our God. You know, a question that was asked me in Bible school, and it sort of took us back because we thought these first three things were just perfect. And the question was, what is the greatest thing a servant can do for its master? What is the greatest thing that a servant can do for his master. Even though all three of these next things are crucial, and they're great, and they're good things, and they should be done for a servant to his master, they're not the best. The first is, it's not sacrifice or making sacrifices for God or for your master. It's not what you're willing to give up for your master. That's not the best, even though that is a good thing. It is not your loyalty to your master or your loyalty to the Father. Even though we ask, where are our priorities and where is our faithfulness lie? And that is a great thing to ask yourself and place your loyalty to God. That is not the greatest that we can do. And the third is not our service. You know, we can get so busy in the ministry. We have teachers and assistant teachers and monitors all over this campus today, and people working with video and people working with audio and people in security and people in the nursery. We have people everywhere serving God. We can get so busy in the service of God that we forget that's not the greatest thing we can do for God. You know, even Saul thought sacrifice was better, didn't he? Preachers today get sucked into busy for the Lord. I'm busy for the Lord. I'm doing for the Lord. I'm doing for the Lord. I'm so busy in the Lord's work. You know, God doesn't really need our service. He wants our service. He desires our service. But He doesn't need anything. That's in Acts 17. The greatest thing a servant can do for his master, the greatest thing that a Christian can do for their Savior and for their Heavenly Father is obedience, to obey. That is the greatest thing. It's above sacrifice. It's above loyalty. It's above your service. Obey God. Of course, 1 Samuel 15:22, when Samuel comes up to Saul, he says, obedience is better than sacrifice. But look at a verse that we usually don't go and look at in this book very often, is the book of Micah. A little prophet, mighty in word, not little in stature, not little in his message, just in the size of his message. The size of his message is called a minor prophet. In Micah chapter 6, if you can find Jonah, just go forward a book. Micah chapter 6. I want you to see this if you can find it. Micah chapter 6. Look with me in verse 7 and 8. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Ooh. That speaks to me as obedience is better than sacrifice. And then over in Ecclesiastes, again, we have Solomon, the son of David. He's called the preacher in Ecclesiastes, and he wraps up all of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12, and the second to last verse in verse 13, in Ecclesiastes 12:13, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We are to obey God. As a master, as a servant to his master, we are to obey our master. You say, well, what am I supposed to obey? Oh, we have a whole Bible here of things to tell us how to obey our God, how He desires our obedience. We could look at so many. Look with me in John chapter 13. John 13 and verse 34. A new commandment I give unto thee, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. But this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Obey me in this one thing, and men will know that you are my disciples, and that is obeying me and loving one another. God desires for His children to obey His commandments. God desires for us to love others like He loves us. Now, we can't love people with an everlasting love like God can, but we can try. We should love selflessly. Instead of putting self first, we should love selflessly. We should love sacrificially. We should love with forgiveness and with understanding. We all make mistakes. God forgives us of those mistakes. Why can't we? You know, we can never forget them, but we don't have to bring them back up and up and up and up and up. Love others with forgiveness and understanding. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Look with me in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Don't we owe it to God to try to love Him like He loves us? He loved us when we were over here wallowing in sin, lost in our sins. He still loved us with an everlasting love. We get over here and we trust Christ as our Savior. He still loves us the same, but now we have benefits and the blessings of God's love. And then as we serve God and it gets hard to serve God and trials come and temptations come and we sort of ease back towards the world a little bit, don't remove yourself from the blessings and the benefits of God's love. For He still loves you the same. And He's still looking for you and watching for you to come back to Him. Maybe you have served Christ in the past in some capacity and you've sort of said, well, I've done my bit. It's time for others to step up. Well, others aren't stepping up. So maybe it's time for you to get refired and rekindled and come back and serve God again. There are places throughout the ministry here that we need laborers. You say, well, I've done my bit. Well, praise the Lord you have, but we still need laborers. Encourage the younger to step up. Maybe see what you can do for the Lord. Don't remove yourself from the blessings and the benefits of God's love. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at what can separate us from the love of God. You say, well, nothing. Yes, nothing is right, but there are things we can allow to separate ourselves from the love of God. So we'll look at that next week. And Heavenly Father, we love You today. We thank You so much for the everlasting love, the unchanging, unconditional, genuine, absolute love that You love us with. It's a profound love, Lord, when we sit and think about it. How You have loved us when we were so unlovely. And not that we're much now, but You still love us the same. And as we had served You and maybe have stepped back and have removed ourselves purposely, removed ourselves from the love of God, or maybe we have removed ourselves unknowingly from the benefits and the love of God. Help us to see that. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Help us to get back to that place where we're receiving the benefits and the blessings of the love of God in our lives, and then sharing that love with the world around us, those that are lost as well as those that are saved. For we have Christians today that are so discouraged. They need encouragement, Lord. Help us to find those and encourage them in the Lord with the everlasting love, at least what we can do, and share with them Your love. God, direct in the next service, bless our pastor. Fill him with Your Spirit, giving the power and the strength to preach the Word of God. Blessing the teen church and the junior church, save the lost, Lord. Guide and direct now in all aspects of this services on this property and help us to give you the honor and glory that you deserve. For it's in Christ's name we pray and ask it. Amen.